Since Johnny last appeared on the show, we have inundated with requests to get him back involved, and with Tins sunning himself
that
on straight
that's
up.
That's my line. Just read your
just
lines.
Just fucking
which are the,
read
which
the,
is the warm-ups.
Unique New York.
We can't even fucking start the show.
A tarantula enjoys a fine chewing gum.
Alex, hello, Dream Team.
No, you're reading the wrong part.
And welcome along to the Good, Bad and the Rugby in partnership with our good friends, Continental Tyres.
Yeah.
Right on cue.
Yeah.
All right, Johnny, just do the fucking
read
warm-ups.
Read the things, because your voice will seize up again.
The arsonist has oddly shaped feet. Is an arsonist somebody obsessed with fire?
Yes.
Christ. How now, brown cow? How now, brown cow?
Are you going to be okay?
I hope so. I am nervous because I don't want my voice to pack in.
But we've got, for those who can't
yeah, I've started on those. I've global drode them.
What's a global drode?
That's the service that we have to use before we take any medicine, vitamin or anything like that.
Oh, for anti-doping?
For anti-doping,
so you've put a hall soother in your anti-doping.
Tramadol is now banned in competition
that's
as of the 1st of January.
That's a bit of an extension from a hall soother. That's pretty punchy in comparison. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we had that to
Are you talk. Taking tramadol today to get through
No
this?
Way. Well,
no way.
I have.
Okay, so hall soothers you've locked.
Global Dro says halls soothers are not prohibited.
Not prohibited. Right. Excellent. You've got some Haribo. Are they prohibited?
I'd rather not eat those.
Why is that? Rig?
Yeah, just too many sugars.
Water in a
sugars. Or we've got some Oreo ice cream in case your vocal cords...
That's been there a while now. It's probably melted.
Oh, so you're turning your nose up against...
I'm hoping to be all right.
Okay, but we were hoping you were going to be all right last time.
Yeah.
And someone planted a small seed that you were going to be unable to speak, and over 30 minutes, you completely lost your voice, had a breakdown, and then your bladder, your prostate seems to have swollen up the size of a watermelon.
Yeah, I need to get that
you were
checked. I've got a pile.
Of what? What was it called? What's his name? Jeff?
No, I don't
know. How do you know? Have you seen it?
Yeah, it pops out from time to
Does
time.
Does it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Oh,
I'll put
my
this
God.
Who, going in
the bin. Had you pop it back in again? Or?
I've shown the lads it. Right.
Well, the pile? What's his name?
Hasn't got a name, but it
looks
like...
Well, it needs a name. If it's going to pop in and out, I mean, do you charge it rent? I mean, it's technically living in your body.
It's basically a hernia. It comes out when I'm stressed or fatigued.
Can I go home?
No, right. Okay, so your voice is fine, but your anus might is
my
weakened.
Anus right now is fine.
It's weakened.
That's great news.
My voice is at risk.
Right, but your drug testing's covered.
The drug testing's covered.
Do you want to talk about these socks you got on? Why are you wearing England socks?
They're not England socks. They're Chimera socks,
right.
Which is recovery gear. I played yesterday. They're calf socks for compression recovery, but there's infrared technology embedded in the fabric, which increases blood flow.
It does it. You should probably get some infrared pants, see if you can pop the thing back up.
Well, it doesn't need stimulation, it needs probably ice.
I can't hold on to this show for very much longer.
Into the final moments, Alex Payne trying to keep this side going forward. Haskell takes it on now with just relentless chat, largely about himself. And there's Tindall to add the finishing touch of glamour and World Cup winning stories and a slightly sideways nose. That is how you podcast. A dominant display by the good, the bad and the rugby.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to this week's episode of Good, the Bad and the Rugby in partnership with our very good friends at Continental Tyres. I'm not sure the previous content was exactly what was in the deck when they signed up to be our title sponsor, but it's what they've got at the start of this week's show. We have, ladies and gents, we've got an assortment of survival kit
provisions
here. We've got sweets and ice cream and hall soothers, because it's a great pleasure to welcome back John May for the return, which is a little bit like John Wick, but with a bit more coughing and spluttering.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of
having to have a lie down
movie screen character. How are you?
I'm good. I feel embarrassed a little bit to like look at the camera.
No, you do. You
why?
Take on the
what
camera.
Do you think it's
you
happen?
Give a little side eye.
I just get a bit nervous.
We are so excited to have you back.
Yeah, I'm cautious because the sequel is never as good as the
it
first
is.
Hit out.
This can only go.
So
in
I don't
want to
disappoint.
Are we allowed to say that we've done a 5-show deal?
Yeah.
We haven't put pen to paper, but that's what we're hoping
for. No, I'm here
for
five in total.
Five in
four
total.
From this one on.
Onwards no. From this yeah, one will be four. Yeah.
So we're very excited that you are now part of the furniture.
Part
do you feel you've assumed the throne?
Yeah,
which
I
is
would
the
rather have sat in that seat because it went well when I was in that seat and now Tins isn't here.
See, it's got nothing to do with it.
Superstition.
Yeah. You get better when you sit
yeah,
in
you're
that
better,
seat.
Yeah.
Do you believe in the
you
butterfly effect?
No.
Yes.
You don't. You get a princess, get yourself a castle sitting in that seat.
Yeah, a butterfly's wing halfway across the world can cause a tornado somewhere else.
I'm all over that. Yeah, but that's just life decisions, isn't
yes.
it? If you turn left onto the tube as opposed to right on the tube.
Yeah. I mean, Tins is going to be a little bit upset that you've got a hemorrhoid on his seat. I imagine that's talking about a butterfly's wing. Your fucking pile
wing.
Staining up his executive throne.
When you say to Tins, oh, by the way, we saw Johnny's pile, I'd be like, I didn't know he had a big country house in the in Gloucestershire.
No. It's the one that seeped through your canvas seat.
No, that's
it's
enough,
fine
James.
At the moment.
some reflections and reaction to our first show with Johnny May. 5 stars, said Lawrence Santa. Best episode ever, even. Long-time listener, first-time commenter. Thank you for creating such a safe and still fun space for a fellow neurodivergent chicken. The respect you have for Johnny May is evident. I think it was your best show yet. Although it was chaos and wouldn't have worked with other guests, it did so well with Johnny. What a character. He must have been so much fun and such an inspirational person to play alongside. Thank you for all you have done for England Rugby. Great show as
That's
well.
That's very kind. Yeah. Thank you, Santa.
That is quite nice. Give us a little flavour of the feedback to show one, because we have been inundated. Please make Johnny a permanent part of the team. He's pure gold. One of the best episodes yet. Great character and great insights. And nice to hear the team made the joke of the media attacks and used them as fuel. Please bring Johnny back for another episode.
Mine was this one.
Wow, just wow.
Yeah, wow, just wow. Wow, just wow. For me, this is the best episode yet, by quite some distance. Pure chaos with absolute gold. Bring Johnny back. This has kept me gripped the whole episode. Absolute chaos. Brilliant. Imagine Johnny and Marla both in the show at the same time.
Marla wants to come on.
Does he?
Does he?
I'm not sure I can handle that. I could just about do one at a time.
He wouldn't fit on that sofa, would you?
No.
Well, I can move up. We're right.
Where would tins go?
Let's make it happen.
We don't need tins all the time.
In Australia.
No, we don't need them.
We don't need them.
My God, rugby needs to let personalities be free and the sport will grow. I've watched Johnny Casey as a Welshman for 15 years. I did not know he was sitting on this fantastic personality. I love it, Johnny. Give us...
No, that's all very, very kind. Thank you very much for everybody who's... given positive feedback.
Did you
enjoy it? Nice. No, I did enjoy it. It was a good laugh. Like, it's quite a nice life. You get on a train, first class, thank you.
That's right.
It's nice. What's the station called that I've... is it Paddington?
Yes, Paddington.
Paddington, Pret. I like Pret. And a taxi to the thing. It's just a nice day. It's different to like a gym and a...
And recovering and then
a contact session
poking
in the rain.
Poking your pile back in and putting your recovery pants on.
So no, it's a different type of day for me, but I did enjoy it, and thank you for all the positive feedback. Even my father-in-law enjoyed it. Can I give him a shout out?
Please do. This is your
Andrew,
show, now, Johnny.
I know you're not my biggest fan, but
trust
I am.
You're one up on someone else.
Yeah, I'm really pleased that you enjoyed the episode. I actually gave him the black eyed gin.
Did he enjoy the tipple?
Why is he not your biggest fan?
There's a few things I've done.
Like what? Like off the top of your head?
The latest one is I don't wear trousers.
Right. Is that because of the pile?
And what would you
no,
mean?
No, not because of the pile. of a Sunday dinner, it's news to me as of recently, but I should wear a pair of trousers to dinner.
Hold on. What, you're wearing
I'm wearing shorts or tracksuit bottoms.
Oh, fine.
Right.
Okay.
The other ones were...
I think he's got a point.
Yeah.
I think Sunday luncheon...
If you've been invited over to theirs for Sunday lunch and you're turning up in just a pair of shorts, well, what kind of shorts are we talking?
Just my basketball shorts.
Yeah, that's not good.
I'd probably say you have
but
to
it's
wear
just
some
me,
sort of...
isn't it? I'm normally in my Birkenstocks and my tracksuit bottoms. But anyway, I did make the effort to put some trousers on over Christmas, but then I had diarrhea, so I had to lie in bed for two days.
Oh, God almighty.
You and your bowels.
Did we get anything for that, for Johnny? Is the chemist... can we get
need to global
to
go draw
a bucket?
What else? I stacked the straw wrong.
The straw?
Yeah, so their main yield crop, their speciality is the thatching straw. Not many people do that still.
They're farmers then?
Yes.
Right, okay.
So then, like, basically manually, you've got to stack the straw. And he showed me how to do it, and I thought I could do it differently. And all my work fell down, so that had to be restacked.
Right. So I can imagine coming over Christmas, he shat everywhere, had to lay in bed, and he's fucked up your straw, it's your biggest earner.
And
he's turned up with a pair of fucking basketball shorts.
There's another couple of things. We had the wedding at their field. But anyway, I don't drink very often, but I got drunk at my wedding and I pissed in the pond and they're convinced it killed all the fish.
Does that kill
fish?
Yeah, all them supplements you take and all that stuff.
The fish died. I rode the quad bike on the garden. And there's been a few things.
No wonder he hates you.
Why does he love you though?
Yeah.
No, he loved the podcast, watched it all, enjoyed it, and he's got a bottle of black eyed gin.
Do you think we have helped him understand you better?
Maybe it's a step in the right direction.
I hope so.
I want to pick up with one point here, the bit where it said the part about the inspirational person bit. I'm going to just put my hand up and say I loved playing with you and like you were a top man. I never thought you were inspirational. I thought you were a fucking lunatic.
That's fine.
But you're quite comfortable with that as a kind of job,
whatever,
spec,
yeah. We've all, like, with any team you need different ingredients, don't you? And then like the ultimate team aligns the ingredients correctly and you get the best output. But there's no recipe for the best team, because if you had a recipe, everybody would be able to create the best team. Yeah.
I saw a very interesting clip online this week, actually, which was Stuart Broad talking about Bazball.
Yeah.
And he said with Bazball, everything that Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes wanted from the team was just positivity. You had to be positive when you entered the team room. Stuart Broad said, my natural inclination is to walk in and moan because that's what I do. But he had to condition himself to get into the mindset that when he walked into the team room, he would start with a, God, wasn't the coffee good at the hotel today or whatever it was? And he'd just try and throw in lines, which means you come in it with a bit of sunshine and you're trying to inspire those around you. And from there, basketball obviously goes on. Is there anyone in this England setup who provides that? Or is it just 23, 30, 34 Sappuccinos who just
I think like there's negative which is negative and there's negative that is positive.
Yeah.
Like if we can laugh about things and take a joke out of things, that's a net positive.
Yeah.
But if we're going to talk, oh, the coach is crap in the way, like that's negative, negative. But
you've got positive.
Yes.
You've got negative positive.
Yes. And negative. Yes, correct.
Split that. Give me a percentage of this England squad, pure positivity.
No, there is a few. Like there are people who love life in camp, i.e.
Like
Ben Earl, Jamie George, Elliot Daly, Danny Kerr, for instance. They're full of beans. Like life's their oyster. Is that the word?
Yeah.
Word?
We'll go with it.
Well, yeah.
The world's their oyster.
Yeah. Whatever you want.
Whatever
life,
that means.
Yeah.
But it means
Johnny,
like
mate,
they're up
want,
for
mate.
Golf. They're up for dinner.
Oysters.
Like they're loving it and having a good. Like there are very positive people. There are some negative positive people, and then there probably are some grumpy by nature people. But on the whole, it's a really good group.
Where are you?
I like to try and be positive and then also make a joke out of some of the negatives. So net, I'd love to think I'm positive.
Right. Hask?
I'm negative positive.
He's a negative positive.
Yeah, you're negative positive.
Like net is a positive.
I sit down but it's kind of fucked. And then you just see like Johnny wandering aimlessly around with like one flip-flop, one boot. Missing a hat. All right, Johnny, has anyone seen my trousers? Has anyone seen my belt? Right, lads, just an announcement. Whoever turned my bed over and covered it in water, that's like the eighth time today. And you sit back and go, I can't help you. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved. But, you know, my life isn't as bad as that. And then I just carry on. So, I quite enjoy it. And also, you would take the piss out of everything.
But you did that presentation, didn't you, after the 2015, which went down interestingly.
Yeah, well, it went down unbelievably well, but apart from the people that... So I did a presentation in 2015. They were like... Andy Farrell said, could you do like some awards, to hand out to like bottles of wine for people? And I went, well, what do you mean? You know, can I just be me? And he went, yeah, absolutely be you. And it was things like I handed out a guy called Matt Parker, who was a lovely guy. But he came up with all these figures and stuff. And when we first started the tour, there was like, you know, we're going to train at 125% of our maximum. And by the time we get to the World Cup, we're going to be pinging. And we did 8,000 quatrons better than the 2,000 we'd done before. And like, all these like flames and charts, just utter bollocks, right? And then I did a presentation, obviously, also got knocked out. And I basically went, look, Matt, with all those figures, it's going to lead to one place only. And I'd superimpose his face on a job centre.
It was really funny, but just like 12 months too soon.
That's negative.
It was negative positive, but just probably it was fragile.
Too soon. Do you know what I do want to get into with Johnny is that one of the really interesting things that fell out of our first show was actually how inspirational you are.
Well, that's kind.
It is kind. Fellas, love the show. My 15-year-old son is on a spectrum. He plays school and club rugby, but rarely watches rugby on TV. We listened to your latest show together and howled with laughter and joy. It's the best rugby podcast I've ever listened to. Unscripted, hilarious, and hugely engaging. So it's quite a lot of backpatting here. This is mainly for you rather than us, but we get a lot of crap normally. A safe space where Johnny could just be Johnny. You guys got the banter just perfect, and as I said, my son was roaring
with
laughter.
It's like a therapy session, isn't it?
He could so easily relate... So easy to Johnny's stories, his anxiety and life experiences. Well done. Best wishes.
I always feel like I've given you a safe space to express
yourself. Yeah, it's just
Johnny being Johnny, isn't it?
Is this because you were quite interesting on that show, although very fleetingly, but you said, I've never ever put myself out there because I never really wanted to.
No, I wouldn't have wanted to. I think, like, I don't know, it is partly how we're trained media.
Yeah.
Don't say anything that can come back to get you or. Always make it about the team.
You've parked that in the last half an hour for sure.
Pardon?
You've parked that in
For now I have, so I don't need to be worried about that anymore. But no, when you're preparing for a test match, let's say if you're playing Wales or something in the week, the typical question would be like, is there any revenge or do you hate them as much as you hate us? And I think you just wouldn't want to be on the back page. That, like, of course, when we go to the Millennium or whatever, that all their fans are flicking their fingers at you and, we want to get them. You say something like that, and all you are is just more attention on the back page. And you, like,
Why are the players so worried about that?
Well,
why
maybe this next generation has probably grown up with it more, and they're more comfortable doing that. And hopefully, we will see more personalities come out. But certainly, the stress of getting through the week with people nicking my sandals, and then
nicked everything,
and then having to play a test match at the end of the week, like. I was on the edge. Like, if I forgot my gum shield, that was enough to tip me over the edge. Let alone being on the back page of a paper.
Well, like forgetting to stop running when you like got into the try zone.
This Casio, I started the. We played New Zealand in the autumn. We got about 20 minutes in, and I was like, oh shit, I'm still wearing my Casio. I was like, well, what the fuck do I do with it? I can't just throw it on. I put it in my sock because like the way it works is like you give the physio or the water man the watch. Eddie's like, what's going on, mate? And they were. Johnny's just given me. Eddie would have been like, "Well, where's his head at?" Like, I was worried what Eddie would think that I started and played 20 minutes of a test match with a Casio on. So I just tucked it in my sock and didn't tell anybody. I just put it in my bag at halftime.
Right.
Why do you keep referring to it as a Casio? It's just a watch, but it's like a brand name.
No. There's no.
He's man of the people.
There's no sponsorship here. It's just a good watch.
Why did you just leave it on?
You can't. It's probably going to cut somebody or get me in trouble or anything. But anyway, yeah. Basically, is. I wouldn't wanted to have put myself out there because I just didn't want to be talked about or be any like good or bad or anything. Just it's just stress, isn't it?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, after last show, what was your the further you got away from the building? What level of anxiety, what you'd feared that you'd said, got into your head?
Yeah, that's why George is here today because
wonderful, beautiful George that you can't see. Johnny's basically now got a carer.
We're not
paying for her to be here, but out of his own pocket, he's basically got a carer.
I've just seen her writing down a lot of time codes and drawing lines through things so far. We've done 2.5 hours of recording to get to this point. Just
five
FYI.
Minutes.
Obviously, this is a bit different and new for me. I never thought I'd be doing it, but I'm at the stage of my life and career where I need to start exploring doing other things.
Definitely. Snacking straw ain't good.
No.
Fashion ain't going to cut it.
No, so I need to try new things. And I did, like I said, the train's quite nice. I like prep.
The train?
Can I another inspirational question? If you went back in time, this was the question from Di Stanley Butt, and it's our continental question of the week. If you went back in time and met a 13-year-old Johnny May, what advice would you give yourself?
Oh, geez. I mean, I have no regrets, and I wouldn't want to change anything. But there are certainly times where I've been too anxious and too stressed or too down about things. But can you change that without? Changing the output, because it's those times potentially where you're down and anxious that like make you do your stretching or make you go do your extra sprints or can you do you see what I mean? So it's a difficult scale to balance, but of course you look back and think blood women hell, things that were really important, I've just had a baby son, and like things that maybe were really important, maybe you realize, okay, that didn't matter so much. But when you're living it and it's everything to you, and it still is very important to me, It's the fact that you care that makes you want to get better, and it makes you harden yourself.
And what has been the best, I'm going to call it coping mechanism, but what has been the best way that you've found to get rid of whatever levels of anxiety you've got?
Yeah, I just get lost in the routine of it.
So you stick to
Just like the harder I can work, and if I'm stressed about this, right, what can I go do about it? Do I go watch a bit of footage? Do I write in my book? Do I go do some stretching? Do I go do my recovery? Do I get lost in my loop of X, Y, and Z? Do I do my extras? So that's how I coped, is I just got lost in my preparation.
I was going to say, because actually Ellis has been very open in the past about his dyspraxia, etc. We live in an era where everybody's looking for a label of some sort,
yes.
And yet you're not that interested in that. You are who you are.
Yeah,
it doesn't
exactly.
Really
I think people want a reason or an excuse maybe to say why I'm not good at something, or parents particularly, my son struggles with this because he's got this label. When the reality is everybody's on a spectrum of some people are more sociable, some people are quieter, some people have more confidence, some don't. Some people are better at drawing, some people are better at reading, some people are good at maths. And today's society, particularly in America with like Big Pharma going down my conspiracy route now, but like if a kid can't really pay attention, he's active and he's bored, they need to put him on amphetamines to say he's got ADHD, when really he's just a young boy full of beans and he's probably bored with what they're teaching him at school. So, everybody's, like I said earlier about everybody being a different personality, I can embrace that. I probably do have slightly different personality to a lot of my teammates, but that's a cool thing. And I think that's a great thing about our game, is that it celebrates and needs different body shapes, sizes, personalities, everything. And like I said, you're looking for the combination of people to bring about a good game of rugby.
It is true as well. People are always looking for labels. I've said this a number of times, but actually the labeling is only the start of it. it's not a get out of jail free, or it's not a. If you've got something, that's actually where it begins. So I think people sometimes go, oh well, I've got that, and that's it. No, that you got that, and this is how you work with it. And actually, you can't then just hide behind it. I think if you've got an issue, or you're different, and people are different. You know, I mean, I did this interview with the Independent. I've somehow accidentally become sort of a face of this. Of ADHD, you know, I got diagnosed when I was 8 before anybody had it, or they were self-diagnosing on TikTok. They put me on medication. I couldn't take any more medication because I was getting drug tested. It taught me to concentrate a little bit more. It's been my superpower to allow me to do lots of different things. I'm a nightmare to be with or work with or whatever, but actually it's not held me back. I've never used it as a crutch, never spoken about it. But, you know, it kind of... A lot of people now are looking, especially parents watching these programs. And when I did it, people were going, oh, my kid's got this, my kid's... It sort of doesn't matter what they've got. It's sort of, Nan, how do you then manage it? And what do you find to unlock their talent? And what are you going to do to start the journey and learn more about it and move forward? Because it's just not the answer, you know? It's the question.
Jude Colebrook wanted us to go back to a number of unanswered stories from episode one. There are a number of items you put on the list that we didn't cover. Tom, what have you been doing? Can we hear the chicken story? What were the antics of the England team during the 2020 COVID Six Nations? Tell us about the pits, Ben Teo's exit from the England team in 2019,
I'm fine, thank you.
And the post-match song. We'll do that live one day.
No, we don't do that because although it's an era and landscape now of more access, which is like we just discussed, we want more people to come out and show their personalities, etc., for me and my reflections are that the changing room is a sacred place for the team.
Would you like to, any more you can share about the pits?
Oh, the pits is basically the changing rooms at Gloucester are appalling. Right. And certainly before the revamp of them when we were at Hartbury, and they got nicknamed the pits by the likes of the era of people that I came through with that moulded me slightly, but we had a great time.
Andy Hazel?
Yeah, Andy Hazel, Luke Narraway, Will James, Mike Tyndall, James Simpson. We're so fortunate to have such an amazing group, and that was some of the best days playing for Gloucester with that team. But they were so appallingly made and ventilated and cleaned that, like, this virus, we don't really know what it was. It was like a black ring, because about 10 years ago, this virus...
It's not COVID.
No, it wasn't COVID, it was a black circle, so it wasn't ringworm. But like this black circle appeared.
You're telling me that in the changing rooms,
the black death originated in the pits.
Yeah, so this this black ring would appear, and we were like, "Oh no, it's got you."
And what would it do to you?
It was just a black ring. I don't think
it's not like a black
well.
Spot out of well, like, what, you have to join.
It was a living. It was a living. It was a living entity.
Like Venom from Spider-Man.
But anyway,
where did the black ring appear?
But anyway, it's called the pits because it was so minging. Then this bug comes along. But we all had to go for testing, and then you were categorized as like symptomatic carriers or not infected. So like Charlie Sharples, he loves getting
this
a mention on
this.
This
is an actual thing?
This happened, yeah. Charlie Sharples was a carrier, but no symptoms.
Of the black ring?
Of the black ring. I had nothing, thank God. And then like a handful of people had this black ring on their leg, on their chest, on their side.
So, yeah, okay, yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's just pretty rank, isn't it? Definitely an RPA matter.
Right.
So due to... unhygienic conditions, you created a bacterial / virus.
It's like COVID. It wasn't made in Wuhan meat market. No. It was made in the Gloucester change rooms, the black ring.
Right.
And what does the black ring do to you? Just leaves your black ring, or does it like it leg a, fall
I,
off?
I know Darren Davidjuke had it. I mean, I can send a couple of messages. I don't know what the black ring did, but it wasn't. It's pretty rank, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it depends. It could be a bit of a fashion statement. I've got the old black ring, but unless your leg falls off and starts decaying.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good news. It was just a ring, but it wasn't. Ring. It was rank. And it's certainly not good. Not good standards.
I've had ringworm before from training it.
That's when the bastards knit your towel, isn't it? The filthy ones. They knit your towel, you get a ringworm.
My sort of MMA gym, it's kind of rife on the mat.
You've got a ringworm?
You get a ring on your arm. Yeah, that's like probably, it's not great.
Scrumpox.
Yeah, scrumpox.
What's that?
Around the head, isn't it?
Fat front row people get
it. Yeah, when they rub.
Rub, yeah. I don't know.
Lesions.
Not lesions. Carbuncles and carbuncles and pustules. No.
Ben Teo's exit from the England team in 2019. Anything you'd like to share on that?
God. Is this it?
Yes,
this,
I haven't heard the story.
Am I
properly.
Selling my soul now?
Yes, you have. Yeah.
Welcome to the dark
side. You've got overexcited.
Here are the two questions.
I never wanted this for myself.
Will Ben Teo mind you telling the story?
No, Ben Teo, not so much.
Will Mike Brown mind?
Potentially.
Well, Mike Brown actually sold a story to The Sun, didn't he? To to clear it up, didn't he? Do you remember during the World Cup period?
No, but it's a shame. It's a shame for both players who have probably gone on the World Cup.
I love Brown. I just mean he did his story. He came out and spoke.
We get a social.
Were you in Portugal?
Italy.
Italy.
So we were in Treviso. We went on a social. I've got another good story about the security, Bill and Ferg, who are useless at England, and they won't mind me talking about them. I'm happy to talk about them. It involves Ed Sheeran after the World Cup final. Can I go to the toilet?
You've done bloody well, actually, Johnny. Can we just actually acknowledge how well
you've done? And he hasn't lost his voice.
Go and do the stop.
Go on, then.
That's it. Stretch out. Do you want to have a little lie down? Ice cream?
Have you soiled yourself in those big trousers?
No. You take your time. There's no hurry. It's quite something. What is quite evident is that he's like a sort of power source.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we've had a lot of people on this set before, but no one has had quite such a 360 kind of... wherever you go, something's happening.
Yes,
Whichever part of his life you talk about, there's a disaster, a catastrophe, a win, something to celebrate. I've never...
All amongst a really professional, sweet... Like, Chloe absolutely adores it.
Yeah.
For her, he is the most fascinating person I've ever played with. You just sitting there asking questions, the way his mind works, what he thinks about, you know, how he interprets stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And he's interesting. He's very intelligent and just shrewd operator. He's not stupid. But I always like to get on with Johnny, but because he was always with Joe Marler, always with the lads. There was always someone stealing something or doing something to him, or something had happened. And I was like, I haven't got time for this in my life. Because if you start involved in that, if you start messing around, suddenly your stuff starts going missing, and then and then you're in a world of pain.
Then you're into the vortex.
And then you're a vortex. So he takes revenge. They take revenge on him. And then and then things like we just ran straight into the golf cart, because he forgot to stop. There's just stuff like that. It's just amazing.
He's back. You need the microphone.
Yeah, we'll do the Ben Teo and we'll do the Bill and Ferg security, and then we'll just maybe draw breath.
That's enough for this week. Let's do Ben Teo and Mike Brown.
Okay, so we're in Treviso. We've trained really hard. Everything's going pretty well. We go on a team. I guess the viewers and what is our demographic? Who are we going after with this?
Not sure.
Well, we must have some stats.
Your father-in-law, your mother, apparently.
Yeah, but these are new people. They wouldn't have traditionally watched it.
They just came on because you came on?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Have they clicked like and subscribe and share?
He wouldn't know how to do that.
Could you help him with that?
He's a simple farmer, is he?
Yeah, I find this one quite funny. My mother-in-law went on like a computer course and like she knows how to close a window because you kiss it goodbye.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, that's good.
You kiss it goodbye.
Lovely. Yeah, I like that very much.
Yeah. They teach you non-technological things as well from farm life. So like if you've got eggs that says they're past your sell-by date, if you put them in if they float, they're off, and if they sink. So that could be good for demographic. If I'm thinking of like student rugby players,
yes,
eggs are good for breakfast. You might have some out-of-date eggs.
So what you're saying is we could tap into a whole new audience of cretin students who didn't know about eating eggs.
I suspect they might like listening or watching.
Yeah.
So if they've got eggs that are over the date, if they go in a glass of water and they sink, you're fine to eat them.
Wow.
I thought they had to float.
No, float is off.
They float off because you've got air in them, basically. Right. They would have fermented bacteria.
Something for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Teo.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's quite a quick story. We went out, I wasn't comfortable, and a few of us aren't getting too drunk on these England things because you're still representing England and you're still at work.
But who else is in sober club?
No, it's not sober. It's like have a couple or
avoid. One time you did get drunk, the toilet got destroyed, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I tell that story in my own stand-up tour. But so
what
that's
do you do?
Johnny, in Italy. Your debut.
Yeah.
It was my second debut. Yeah. Apparently the first one didn't count.
Right. Why were you allowed to?
Someone's bullied you into it.
Yeah.
I've already done mine. Shut up, Johnny.
Yeah, shut up and have a drink. So, yeah, I'm forced to drink. Anyway, we'll do three stories. The Italy one.
Amazing how quickly they clock out.
I know. So much to drink. Anyway, you've got to have a drink with every member of the team.
Right.
You don't manage to do it, but you have a lot. Anyway, I go into the toilet to be sick.
Yeah.
Billy 12 Trees locks me in the toilet.
For your own safety?
How did he do that from the outside?
We must have had a key or screw. Or maybe you thought you were locked in.
No, he barred me shut, so I couldn't get out. So I was like, oh, okay, I know what to do. But anyway, we're in this really historic, lovely, mosaic-y building, and they right at the end of the Six Nations, like you do in the past, pre-COVID, you would do a
full like brass band, like yeah, trays and trays of food,
food yeah. and black tie, and it is a good event that they put like they're very hospitable. Is
not
that
like
the
Spirit
word?
Spirit Rugby with some stuffy old bloke and a bit of chicken. You but know, no, it chicken was amazing. Like, I'm like far as you can see, vol-au-vents, yeah, you know, salami.
Yeah, so anyway,
the finest
I was
meats.
Sick. Biddy Twelvetrees blocks me from getting out, so I was like, oh, no issue. I'll just stand on the toilet, jump over the cubicle, come out the next one. I stand on the toilet, push this like old vat, like China. Toilet smashes, breaks, splits in half, and water starts pissing out the fucking out of one of the pipes. And Billy opened it and like caught me red-handed, like halfway up the thing. He's like, "What have you done?" And I'm like, "I didn't fucking do anything." It's like you've stopped me from getting it. And anyway, we both just walk out of there, like guilty as very, looking very guilty.
With the water sit,
like, covered in shit, covered in shit and water. No, but like, bit of toilet paper like, stuck
like,
to your face.
Like I'd messed up. Like Billy made me mess up. Obviously,
Billy made me.
Yeah, well, Billy if you trap somebody in the toilet, what are we meant to do? Not trying to escape. But anyway, we go back and sit at our tables. And anyway, within minutes, the police are like racing in a line through the thing because it's like protected. Historical. It's like a really nice building.
And you broke this on your second debut for England.
Well, it's the end of the Six Nations, so what's that, my sixth cap? But yeah, that toilet broke. Lanny told me to go to bed. I had to go to bed.
This has turned into quite a therapy session.
It is therapy.
Of the trauma of playing for England.
Yeah, it is.
Is essentially
so
what we're going
to apologise to Italians, right? Yeah,
apologise to Italians, yeah. Pay the money, say I was sorry.
£1,000 for a toilet.
£1,666.66.
Can you offset that against tax loss of some sort? Tax bill of some sort?
No. International crime.
Corporate loss?
International crime. You got away with it.
Right, okay, yeah, so that happened.
Anyway, that's that. Ben's here, Mike Brown. We're in Treviso, we're getting drunk. Like I said, there's always a few people who you have to be concerned about on those socials. There's less of them around now. Like Dickie would be a concern. Billy.
And do you man mark?
Yeah, we tried. We tried to help. We tried to help, but also stay away.
Right.
It's a fine balance.
So help from a distance.
Helping with a pool, like a pool cue, like poking them. No.
Put that down.
Ben Teo got too drunk. Like it happened. I don't know how I've got into this. I sat here telling these stories.
Well, because we put it on the list from show one, but never got into it. Yeah, we don't have to go.
So anyway, to my understanding, like, apologies to anybody who I mentioned who didn't want to be mentioned. Yeah. And we might not even show this anyway. But I think, Joe, like where the joke you play when like you pretend there's a fly on you and you slap somebody.
I haven't played that since
Or it's,
about
it's not a game that you might have played or not. But that occurred. And I think Brownie got slapped.
Right.
I might have been Marrow did it, but anyway, Ben Teo being too drunk found it, and obviously Brownie wouldn't have been drinking. He was very, like, really professional guy. Yeah. Didn't do all that. He's always, that's why he's still playing, and he's just still in great shape, like all those things. So obviously Brownie wasn't like in that mood at that time and didn't take well to it, understandably. But then Ben Teo probably got carried away with the reaction that he got and probably slapped him a couple more times. And then like we've somehow, like, Bill and Ferg, we'll talk about them in a minute, obviously just standing around, not doing much at all, just watching them saying, oh, the boys have got to look at, like, we don't, any, not, re- I don't really know what they do, but they were there. We've almost navigated as a team our way through all potential things that could go wrong. They hadn't, and it was on the walk back to the bus. Brownie was walking to the bus, and they were sort of yelling stuff to each other about something, and then, yeah, they turned around and, like, I think Benny landed a punch on Brownie and like got him with his he had a black eye, and Ben Teo had a ripped shirt, and then we got on the bus and it was all kicking off. It was like it was awful, really. Like, lots of boys were calling out boys. Some boys were crying. It was bizarre. And then we were like,
sounds like a Leicester away trip.
It was just so weird. And then lads were like, right, we need to sort all this out as a team and go down to the basement now. And then other lads were like, this is the worst time to go and sort things out. And it was just...
Well, you were like a fight club or something?
No, not like a fight club. It was just... this is the time that during this World Cup, Eddie had had us with this...
Honesty woman.
And she'd stoked a few feathers within camp.
Like, oh, yeah, but she was the one who encouraged you
feathers
to, have,
or
yeah. To have difficult conversations. Yeah, encouraged like, so you to sit was, down and go, I
things,
hate you.
Things were, yeah, honestly, things were brewing. Because, like, we had to go and tell people, like, things we didn't like. Like it was really weird. She made people cry.
Who came to you?
Nobody came to me, that's but there nice. Was, I'm not going to say who and what, but there was queues for the same.
Didn't someone go to Cipriano at a queue, like, around the block, wasn't it?
Anyway, people were having conversations that didn't need to be have and forcing them, and there was so much.
Imagine tins. I just don't like it. I don't like your house. You're pretty loud. What?
But
was
anyway,
that
there was stuff simmering, and then that sort of tips it all off. And then I think Steve Borthwick had to go and wake up Ben Teo in the morning, the next morning, and Ben Teo was like, on the bus, he was still steaming on the bus to the airport, like, Steve Borthwick was in my room in the morning. Why is Steve Borthwick in my room? That's my Aussie accent. He's like, yeah, he came to wake you up. But he was just so drunk. And then the bus was awkward. And then at the front, Eddie stood up and he was like, right, boys, you fucked up. You can't handle your piss. And then, like, off the back of that, Brownie and Teo got removed from the camp.
And that was it.
Well,
I think I need therapy to get.
It's just a shame for for both of them that they like maybe that's just something. In my opinion, maybe that's just something that happens.
Does it happen at Gloucester as well? Do you have proper tear-ups and rip into?
No, we have quite we do train Tuesdays. There's maybe more so than other clubs, but we do fight quite. Like, not we, the forwards will will fight quite a lot on a Tuesday. Yeah,
now they've lost nine games on the trot. I imagine there'll be more fighting. Mm.
Well, I'm glad we put that one to bed.
Should we go Bill and Ferg really quickly?
Give us Bill and Ferg. Bill and Ferg's excellent adventure.
So anyway, World Cup final 2019. We lose. We get back to the hotel. We've got like the penthouse of a hotel somewhere. I actually did have a few drinks and felt quite drunk quite quickly, probably because of the stress of it all. But it's a weird environment. Anyway, some people know, some people don't know, but Ed Sheeran is like a family friend of mine.
Stop it.
And
is there not a connection?
His mum taught him to play guitar.
My mum is close friends with his dad.
Right.
My mum's best friend's his godmother. They're in a network of friends. So when we were like kids, if the parents got together, we'd play football with each other. But Ed would obviously be inside playing guitar because that's what he liked to do.
So you basically say he's a fucking nerd and you were the athletic one, so you're saying?
No. Right. Just said he was inside playing guitar.
He's done all right off the back of it.
So, I wish I was. If I had 1 inch of his talent.
His family are musical. He's quite classically trained. And my mum and dad play guitar and stuff. And he saw my mum playing guitar. And apparently so. My mum, he was interested. My mum taught him some chords and off he went. So apparently that
he's
is.
So talented, man.
Apparently that happened.
Can you imagine in a parallel universe if he'd gone out to play football and you'd picked up your mum's guitar?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be here now.
No.
You'd have so
Are you musical?
I've done the drums. My family's a bit musical.
Really?
But no, anyway. So, penthouse of a Japanese hotel. All the friends and families are coming in. It's a bit of a weird vibe. People are getting drunk. Most people are upset. It's all a lot to take in. Ed Sheeran's dad was with my mum, and they were both steaming. Like, they'd been drinking all day.
You're not, like, related to Ed Sheeran, are you?
No.
Oh, right. You're not really his brother?
No. But anyway, my mum and dad... My dad doesn't drink. My mum used to drink a lot. She doesn't drink at all anymore. But she was... she'd had a few drinks. Ed Sheeran's dad had a few drinks. And then my mum's like, oh, well, Ed was at the final, and he wants to see his dad. And I was like, oh, okay, well... But like, I'll go and let him in or whatever. Like, I haven't seen him for a long time. But like, the sadness of it is Ed is literally so famous that like, he doesn't get to see his dad very often. He's got to do this appearance and go here and be there. And his dad was like, yeah, I'd love to see Ed. Could you get him in? And I'd obviously, at these post rugby match events, you get wristbands. So I'd obviously given wristbands. You probably got three each, let's say. So my mum and dad I got five. My mum, dad, Ed Sheeran's dad, my brother-in-law and his mate were out there. They got wristbands. They were up in the bar with us. So anyway, I go out, up comes the elevator. Ed Sheeran with his entourage of two, his wife, Cherry, and his mate. And I walk to the door. I'm like, I was going to take Ed to see his dad. And Bill and Fergus stood at the rope. They're like, I was like, yeah, sorry, it's Ed Sheeran here. He wants to come and see his dad. And Ferg, this like stubborn Scottish security, he's like, I'm not going to do a Scottish accent, but he's like, yeah, well, where's his wristband? I'm like, Ferg, are you taking the fucking piss? This is Ed Sheeran, and he wants to see his dad. He doesn't need a fucking wristband to go and see his dad. He's like, this is what he said. He was like, well, I've just turned Piers Francis' mates around because they didn't have a wristband.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, Ferg, fucking hell, mate. Piers Francis, lovely guy, bit different. Like, Piers Francis' mates, Ed Sheeran, like, God knows where the night could have gone. He could have come in, saw his dad, Ed, here's a guitar, off you go, have a sing. Anyway, I'm like so you're turning Ed Sheeran away from seeing his dad? And he's like, well, they all can't come in. And I was like, Ferg, you're joking me. But anyway, I said, I'm just going to let Ed see his dad quickly. It was quite sad, really. I snuck Ed round the side. He get his dad a hug and left.
Are you fucking serious? Oh, he didn't let Ed Sheeran in.
It's around my life. So anyway.
And you, honestly,
this couldn't. Yes, this happened. So then anyway, within minutes of him leaving, Jamie George and Elliot Daly run out like, where's Ed Sheeran? Ed Sheeran's here, isn't he? I was like, yeah, he was. He's gone now. Bin and Ferg wouldn't let him in because he didn't have a wristband.
He didn't have a wristband. Anything to do with rugby. You're like, what idiots.
Yeah, so then it's like the WhatsApp group's just pinging off like, fuck you, Bill. Fuck you, Ferg. What the fuck have you done, Ed Sheeran? Cheers, guys. Blah, blah, blah.
Bill used to be Harry's close friend.
Yeah. Yeah,
Bill's good. I don't know, but Ferg, I don't know, but I met him a couple of times. They're really good, lovely guys.
They're both like, they're not security, they're logistics.
Close protection,
They sit around, they drink coffee, they're really good morale.
They used to be close protection officers.
They help move kit, they help us do stuff, but certainly those are their security interactions. Like, they did turn away Ed Sheeran because Piers Francis' friends is one set of rules for Piers Francis' friends.
I'd be livid. I'd stand there and I'd go to like someone else's. I go, if my mum and dad were there, mum and dad, fuck off, Ed Sheeran. I'd swap the bands out.
It was so embarrassing. So embarrassing.
Yeah, that is tough.
Can I ask you some questions, Johnny?
Yeah.
Ali Gray, would you rather fight a horse sized duck or 20 duck sized horses?
So this is interesting. I've been to Tbilisi and back since the last
you did?
Podcast. Yeah.
You did.
And inevitably you end up playing with a game of Would You Rather? And to answer that question, I'd rather fight the 20
duck-sized
horses.
I think, yeah, that's good.
One that came up when we were in Tbilisi. Would you rather be on minimum wage for the rest of your life or be on £1 million a year and have a snail that is constantly chasing you? And if it touches you, you die.
I'd rather have £1 million a year in a fucking snail.
I'll have what you're smoking, I will.
You're not supposed to start the mushroom balls yet. You're supposed to wait until you retire, Johnny, but whatever.
It's a good one, though, because it was fucking terrifying. A snail, like, I know they're slow, but it's just knowing
it. But where does it start in relation to you?
Snail there, you there.
Yeah, because if it fucking starts by the end of the night.
No.
Have you not ever seen the snail trails in your house and where the slugs get under the door?
But you can do nothing about the snail.
The snail
always
knows where you are and it is tracked on you.
Yeah, but
always.
Hold on, but where does it start in relation to you?
Because it starts within 5 metres of you.
You're making this up now.
No, I'm not. No, you can't.
5 metres? You fall asleep, the fucking thing will be in your mouth.
So then your options are, you need to emigrate. You start here with the snail.
Oh, well, that's easy. I'm to Australia.
Yeah,
good
so then we did the maths.
I can't get over the sea.
Yeah, so then we did the maths, and it was the snail can move.
Who did the maths? I did it.
Are you playing this game with others or just with yourself?
Not on myself, no, with others.
Have you got an imaginary friend, by the way?
No. The snail takes 1.39 days to travel a mile, and that meant that it took over 40 years to get to Australia. But if it's like a... It can travel through water. It travels through water at the same pace as on land, like a whelk. They're like water snails, aren't they? So it can do both.
Yeah. Right.
But then the question.
So do you know what I'd do?
Yeah. So then I said we go to Australia for 40 years, then come back.
No, you go for 20 years because then the snail's halfway, and then you can come back again because the fucking thing's got to turn around and come back again.
Then you've got to move twice. That's 2020. Yeah.
You do what you want.
You do what you want.
But then,
apart from
then,
the petrol fee, the snail's going to get
then
in fact,
the bit,
Johnny, you give it a year, it's already offshore, so you can come back for a month or two at a time.
Yeah.
Then it's going to... Yeah, you could.
So actually, you can have 6 months in the US. Yeah. Let's tie the fucking thing out. Let's go 6 months in the US.
It's a good one, isn't it?
Let's go 6 months in the US. It'll set off there. Yeah. And then it gets to the US. It's halfway to the US.
Yeah, but then... I'm off to Australia. Oh, for fuck's sake. This is where it got like...
He's gone. He's dead, Johnny. He's fucked it.
This is where it got like really difficult. We were like, can the snail jump on transport? Like, can it jump
on the rules? Well, you tell
us. Can it slime up to
shit? At that point, I said, fuck it. If it's on like a motorbike or a cab or a plane, I'm taking minimum wage.
No. It could probably slug its way onto a plane.
We said, for the sake of it, it's not allowed. It can just snail.
But even so, like...
If a snail's jumping...
Do we track the snail?
No, it tracks you. You don't know where it is.
Are we allowed to... But that's ridiculous.
Why? It's hunting you.
So, what do you mean, why it's ridiculous? We're quite far into the conversation to be asking that.
Yeah, I'm confused.
The snail knows where you are.
You don't know where the snail is.
You could look and be like, oh, the snail, like it's there.
How big's the snail?
It's just normal size. If it can get on transport, I just do minimum wage. It's just too much stress.
No, but because it doesn't. You die if it touches you.
Yes. No. But we did have like a good half hour.
I miss play school.
We did have a good half hour over the snail. But I decided if it can get on cars and planes and trains, and then I'm just taking the minimum wage.
That's what I miss more than anything. It was like killing time, just killing pointless conversation. Like, would you rather? Like the idea of being attacked by a rogue snail.
Podcast, isn't it?
It's very much true. Okay.
What's the best back three in world rugby right now? Pick your dream back three. Who's the best fullback in the game right now? Bowden Barrett.
Bowden Barrett, Chesham Colby. I'd chuck somebody like Zam on the other wing. Zam. That'd be quite cool, wouldn't it?
Is he quick?
Yeah.
Top three things on your bucket list. Last question.
I want to buy a holiday home.
Snail-proof one, I think.
Yeah, snail-proof holiday home next to a golf course.
Anywhere particular country?
It's just hot. I think that would be nice. Hot.
Could you use like snail pellets wherever you go? As in, or is it immune to that?
I reckon it. No, you can't kill the snail.
Well, you can make it very ill.
Or you can make it like,
no, it moves. It moves
in mysterious ways.
At a constant pace. What if you put glass?
It travels
down?
At constant pace.
Slugs over
but
grass.
But if you went to bed and you surrounded your bed in pellets,
yeah, it gets through them.
Can it?
How?
It's the way the snail is made.
I don't think you've thought this through.
Yeah. What about you put broken glass? Would it snail over the glass?
Yeah. It constantly moves at a snail's pace.
Can it go through fire?
Yeah.
The snail goes through fire.
It goes through everything.
Be careful.
Fucking hell, bucket list.
Golf course. Hot. Do you play golf?
A little bit. I like play like four rounds over the off season, then I get all right, and then I stop completely.
But you want to buy a house next to a golf course?
Yeah. It's good mindfulness. The golf course is great.
Like, you like Cornwall, don't you?
I've been in Cornwall, bumped into you before.
I bumped into you on Polsack
Beach.
Like,
everybody quite likes Cornwall.
And I met your dad as well.
Yeah.
You didn't say anything, though.
Petrified of him. I was like, the press.
Oh, the media? You thought he was wearing a wire?
Yeah. We were like, I was on holiday. He like gave one-word answers, and your dad was really chatty.
Yeah, I never switch off. Was he like hiding behind his dad's leg?
I was like, we're live on Sky Sports News. Welcome along.
If Bodie comes and like she runs up and hugs me and hides behind my leg when people talk, was he like hiding behind his dad's leg?
What else is on my bucket list?
So lodge on a golf course.
Yeah.
Snail-proof bed.
Yeah. What else? What would you car? Do you want a nice car?
Not really bothered by that.
Clothes?
I hate clothes.
Would you like a personal masseur or a yoga person or something?
What's on? Can we ask? Like, take it in turns.
It's a bucket list.
I've done one. What's yours? It's a hard question.
On my
you
bucket
think.
List. So, I've got a few actually. I would love to have 6 months just to go to an island and paddle around on a surfboard. I would really love that.
On your own.
I'd probably have to take my wife and children. They're a little bit like the snail. Like they will come too, and I will probably die if they touch. Yeah. If they don't come. So I would love a really really good 6 month sabbatical.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
I don't.
You get bored quickly. I reckon.
I'm not sure I would.
I'm living quite a lot of my dreams, but I don't really have.
Yeah. So it's hard, isn't it?
House, flat.
Yeah, house, a stable marriage, roof over my head.
James Haskell takes yet another swipe. Another
swipe. I would say, what would I do? Maybe I'd like to have a chef. That'd be game changer.
Really?
On the bucket, that would just like to take care of me all the time. That'd be unbelievable, just eating.
You see,
food.
You're the kind of person that will actually go out and get that.
Yeah,
I reckon you might have a housekeeper.
Instead of that, if it's like three wishes, which it basically is, isn't it? A bucket list is like you get a lamp and you might as well just wish for loads of money.
No, I've figured out...
Then you can do basically what you want.
No, it's the last thought. I've figured out how to defeat the three wishes thing. My first wish, you wish to be the best at everything in the world.
No, you wish for as many wishes as you want.
No, because you can't do that. They always say that caveat. You can't ask more wishes.
It's like Johnny, you're changing the fucking
rules.
No,
that's what they always say. Aladdin is the kind of...
But then you'd be the best at bad things as well.
Well, but only if you tried to do the bad things.
Well, that'd be worse though, wouldn't it?
Only if you tried to do the bad things.
Yeah.
Because you'd
then be tempted to do bad things because you're good at them.
Yeah, but then you'd be like the best at dying fast. So it could all unravel.
That's not a good one.
No, but I'm pretty certain that's not how it works. I go, I want the best at everything in the world, so I could... or I could be the best at anything I try.
There's no, that's like, you need balance in the world. You need like yin and yang.
Yeah, I
wouldn't
like to try to be the best footballer in the world. Oh, I probably would.
It gets very deep.
But then then there'd be no fun in being the, do you see what I mean? Like you could curse yourself. Like,
well,
there's
a lot of, Ronaldo's having a bit of fun. Messi has a bit of fun. I'd be quite good.
There's probably things he can't do.
But also, if you've like got an understanding of like life, I wouldn't be sure. Like if I got $1 billion, I wouldn't like lose my mind.
Mm.
Wouldn't you?
No.
I don't want $1 billion.
I do, but I wouldn't suddenly see me like, oh my God, he's dying.
They reckon
like,
that like,
he's
the more intelligent you are, the less happy you are. So like you could end up, you could end up being so clever that you get answers that you don't want, and then you're upset.
Yeah, of course.
But
yeah.
I often think
so that isn't a good
wish.
The
people who have the most often are the least happy as well. You sort of get distorted by it.
Yeah, as long as you
need
work
purpose.
There's balance, isn't there?
You need somebody to get up in the morning for, and you need good people around you, and the rest of it's all incidental. It's been another magical mystery tour through the magical mind of John LeMay.
I'm not going to listen to this back because I don't want. I want to remember it as it was before it's going to be heavily redacted.
Yes. Oh, I can't listen. I didn't watch. I can't listen to my own voice. Yeah, I watch too much.
It's not even that. I remember what it was like. The purity of it. I don't want to remember what it was going to be like.
Should we therefore just say to the listeners and the viewers, this has been about the most amazing 2 hours
you reckon
that we've
than
enjoyed
the
of 2024 so far?
So far, yeah.
But whatever they get given is down
might
to the lawyers.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a nod for the good rugby that's on your telly box this weekend because the Investec Champions Cup is back. Mm-hmm. ITV1 at 1, Exeter against Glasgow Warriors, Saturday lunchtime if you fancy that. Exeter obviously looking to get back to big performances. That is followed by Leinster against Stade Francais, who are third in the top 14, TNT and RT at 5:30. On Sunday afternoon, it's an absolute belter. Slam in the lamb, lock the door and light the fire because you've got Bath Racing 92, who are top of the top 14. That is the game of the weekend, I reckon. TNT Sports, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Then you've got defending champions La Rochelle against Leicester at 3:15. And Bordeaux Begler, who are second in the top 14, against Sarries at 5:30. Owen Farrell is off to France, screams the headline, if he isn't already. I think it's some quite good rugby.
I'm DJ Ministry of Sound Friday night, the 12th.
Tickets still available?
Tickets still available. Shadow Child, Wanklamer, Crucy, myself, Cassim.
Where do you
play
do
in
that?
The main room. It's the Ministry of Sound in London.
Oh, it's a place.
It's a place, yes.
Okay. Who have Gloucester playing this weekend?
Edinburgh away.
Are
you in for that?
I'm available for selection.
Available for selection.
And then I'm DJing in Val Thorens, a place called Freeze. On Monday night, I'm at Summit Nightclub. And then Tuesday, 360. If you're in Val Thorens and you're skiing and you're posh and you want to have a pie, come and say, if you're not posh, you're welcome too.
There's a little bit of rugby for you on ITV, TNT and RTE. There is some music there if you'd like to go and find Hask wherever he's just mentioned. The lock-in is available as per normal via Apple and Spotify. Johnny is making his debut. Should we chuck out a bottle of Black Eye this week?
Yep.
To George.
We said, who did you say?
I thought George Skivington could do with a drink.
Yeah, landlord could do with a little bottle of Black Eye. You know, 6-9 games on the bounce, lost.
How are you getting on down there?
It's going well.
You don't. It's all right, we'll send it to him. You don't need to take
it
down,
Johnny. Yeah, I wouldn't. Well, maybe you get him in the good books.
A little present for the landlord?
Drink responsibly. Yeah. Don't utilise it to get away with sorrow. Utilise it just to enjoy it for its sort of citrus base.
The point of Black Eye, though, is you ride the storms and you celebrate the good times and the sunshine. So let's send the bottle down to George Skivington and hopefully fortunes turn at King's Home before too long. Just a reminder that a bottle of Black Eye goes every week to someone who we celebrate for alternative reasons or someone who needs a pick-me-up. Black Eye Gin is available from Amazon, Selected Sainsbury's and Master of Malt. We've got some really exciting opportunities coming in the not-too-distant future as well. It has got botanicals from every major rugby-playing nation and one very special ingredient. And £1.50 from every bottle sold goes into the Black Eye Rugby Fund, which is aiming to raise £1 million a year to help with the areas of risk, research and recovery within the game of rugby union. We are already into five figures raised, which is very exciting. And we're asking rugby fans, swap a beer for a gin and tonic, and you can do that to help the game you love. That is it for this week's show. It's never easy laying down a second album, but your thoughts on this week's show?
We'll just have to wait and see, but I've had fun again.
Have you enjoyed it?
No, it's been good, thank you.
It's in the hands of God, and you didn't talk yourself out any slightly.
You've done very, as a performance, you've done extremely well.
Yeah, and you only urinated once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good.
You've had half a packet of Halls. We haven't needed the diapers or
the
ice cream. I feel like it's a bit of a shame it melted.
Is there even ice cream in there?
You should never eat melted ice cream. Don't refreeze it.
Why?
It's what grows bacteria to make you ill.
Right.
There you are. Lovely little tip for you.
It's been a hell of a show this week. We've toured a bit, haven't we?
Yeah, we've gone around.
Yeah, but that's
please
what
share,
do.
Please subscribe, and we'll catch you very soon.
We have been the Good, the Bad and the Rugby in partnership with our very good friends at Continental Tyres. Thank you as always for your support. We are a folding pocket production. Stats and facts provided by Oval Insights where appropriate. And this episode was produced by Tom Edwards. See you next week. Well done, Johnny.
Thank you.
Well done, Johnny.
You've been listening to The Good, yay, The Bad, and The Rugby, oof, with Alex Payne, James Haskell and Mike Tyndall. Thanks for listening.
You're not going to believe what comes out of my mouth now.